into verse, poetry into podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Pham, and you're listening to Poemcast. Before we begin, a brief message from our sponsors. Elm Coffee Roasters is open in Pioneer Square and SLU for takeout, and soon we'll have indoor seating. Order coffee and more at elmcoffeeroasters.com. If you're looking for a place to live in the fall with student-friendly amenities, spectacular views, and that's walking distance to campus, check out The M Seattle. They are the only student living high-rise near UW, and they've recently dropped the rates on all of their floor plans. Visit themseattle.com for more information. And with that, let's get started. Welcome to Poemcast. Would you introduce yourself and tell us more about why you're here?
Yeah, so my name's Sam Seaver, and I'm a senior at UW. I'm about to graduate from the Art History and Psychology departments with a double major in those. And I met you through Poetry Club, which I founded my freshman year with my roommate. And so this is our fourth year of running the club, and we are going to be passing the torch in just a few months, in like 2 months, which is crazy.
Wow, that is crazy. And that's so cool. I love your major combination.
It's fun. Yeah, I like the intersection between the mind and art. So that's why I'm pursuing both of them. I just think that the two go hand in hand really well.
I love that. All right, we'll talk more about that later. But for now, I'd love to hear your poetry.
This is called For My Mother, so it's a very obvious title. Okay, For My Mother. An angel on which light kisses cheekly, pushing hair back, blowing a soft song from long ago. Religion in a dressing gown, you push our hair back, sighing words that smell of hydrangea and love. You speak of morning rituals, waking us softly before the sun to hop on the 32, ride it through ages 6 and 7. Demonstrating the symmetry of knowing who you are and liking it with dressing on the side, leading by example. I would be so lost and bruised without you. My heart hurts to think of someone else basking in it all. I want to feel you with me every day. There is a tree in a park nearby, and its roots thick and thin themselves across the forest floor. They stretch wide and far to teach us what you don't have time for. You are busy, and we love you for it. I have taken lessons from you both and will remember to clutch people close to my chest, to take up space with a reckless gratitude that sends planes crashing down, to hold my sister's hand. I love you from a still and central place that has remained tender from the day we met. Very pink, it sits beneath my ribs and takes me on walks when we live in different places and I can't calm down. It sighs like you.
I love that. Oh my goodness. The imagery and the writing and all of that. Ah, can you tell us in, you know, prose what it means to you?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like this is one of my more, my less abstract poems. So I just wrote this for my mom. I just kind of sat down. But it's my favorite poem that I've written, I think, maybe just because I don't really write poems for people ever. So I wrote it for my mom, and then I gave it to her for Mother's Day a couple years ago.
Yeah, when you were reading that, I was thinking about Mother's Day and how that's coming up.
Yeah. It's just kind of like a thank you poem for her. And I feel like it was just hard moving away from her in college. And I hadn't really reflected entirely on what she meant to me in like all of these little different ways. And it wasn't until moving away from her that I sort of saw all these different, just the details, I guess, of our relationship and what it was like to grow up with her as my mom.
I just love all the imagery and how you were talking about like details in the relationship, but also I think details in the writing really made that come forward.
Thank you. Yeah, that was my goal.
Do you have a favorite line in that poem?
Yeah, I think my favorite line is, I love you from a still and central place.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it just feels like.
Can we talk more about that? Because when I hear it, my interpretation is stability, but it sounds like it comes from a much deeper place.
Yeah, it's... That's a good analysis of it. It is stability. It's like a central and core stability that doesn't necessarily stabilize you all the time, but it remains stable. Like it doesn't provide you with stability, but it's always there. And so sometimes you need to get back to that still in central place within you, where you have that love for someone else, and where it, you know, having, I'm a big believer in having corporeal like connotations with emotions and just, you know, energy and like kind of just the outside world. So I think it's really important to like feel kind of like you're absorbing things into different places in your body almost, because not everything has to be taken to heart. Not everything has to be taken to your mind. You know, it can, if you accept a compliment, even if you're not fully believing it, at least you're absorbing it into your liver or something, you know, just like kind of imagining yourself in terms of different body parts and how these body parts can absorb different, you know, a liver isn't just a liver. Like you can, your body can correspond to many different things around you. And so my poetry does tend to be kind of visceral like that. A lot of body imagery.
And bodies absorbing memories too. You remember the places you've been and you've carried those. But I think you were talking earlier about how you didn't start noticing a lot of these details until after you left for college, and how maybe this is like returning to that because you're carrying this stability with you, even though you might not be physically in the same space or the same time period as you were growing up with your mom. But I was wondering how your relationship has changed between, you know, growing up with your mom to now when you are in college and far away and now getting ready to start a new life. I think you're graduating this year and all of these new exciting things and all these changes.
I think that, well, I know, so my relationship with my mom, I'd relied on her for a lot of help because she is just such a naturally helpful person. Like, she's very compassionate. She's a teacher and an artist and an art historian, and she just kind of radiates love. And so it wasn't until moving away that I kind of realized that I didn't need our relationship to be me needing and her giving. Like, our relationship could be more reciprocal and more like friendly too. And so it wasn't until moving away that I realized that, like, oh my gosh, like, my mom and I are actually really similar, and we are good friends too. Like, we can have a friend relationship.
My mom and I were just talking about this the other day, about how our relationship has evolved to become more like a friendship, and it's more open. I just think that's super cool, because
yeah,
I never thought about it that way until she mentioned it and then you talked more about it.
And I think there's a really delicate balance that you need to strike as a mother-daughter duo, because I don't think that your mom should be your friend when you're a child. I think that your mom should be your mom. But then the natural evolution, I think, of a relationship with your mother should become into more of a friendship relationship, because that's when, you know, your mom raised you. Your mom has imprinted onto you. So then when you're an adult, when you're moving into the adult world, then you finally get to like see who the woman is who raised you too, and then hopefully you're friends with her.
Exactly. And you have to have that respect first for her to guide you growing up.
Exactly.
And learning from her. And then even when you are older, you are still mom and daughter, but it's just that the friendship has kind of shifted so that you are able to talk about more things, because your mom had a whole life before you were born too.
Yeah.
And so then you kind of start to realize that she is a whole person, not just your mom.
Exactly.
And now a word from our sponsors. Open since 2015, Elm Coffee Roasters is devoted to high quality coffee that's easy to brew at home and a joy to drink. At our roastery and cafe in Pioneer Square, Seattle, Elm obsessively roasts small batches of coffee that they source with a focus on sustainable practices that lift up the whole supply chain and protect the future of the coffee plant. Elm's goal is to make a truly exceptional cup of coffee, an experience you look forward to every day. Cafes in Pioneer Square and SLU open now for takeout, and soon dine-in service. Please use the code PODCAST at elmcoffeeroasters.com for a 15% off your next coffee order. And we're back. I wanted to ask you, so you were saying that the poem you read today was one of your less abstract pieces, and I'm wondering, what's the kind of poetry that you normally write, and what's it about, if there's a lot of, you know, variance, or like the style?
Yeah. The style, I guess I'd describe it as lyrical and corporeal. Like, I don't have a lot of short lines. I definitely have line breaks. I have a lot of like sentences, but I don't, it's not like, you know, stream of consciousness, but it's not a ton of short lines, never rhyming, but they're usually short, probably like, that was one of my longer poems. They're usually only like 6 or 7 lines. And yeah, focused on body imagery and a lot of nature, but not describing nature, more kind of like nature's effect on people rather than writing a poem about a tree itself, if that makes sense.
Do you tend towards writing more about like sad, happy, joyful, you know, like which emotions do you feel most connected to? I know that's a strange question.
No, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I haven't been writing that much poetry recently because I'm really happy, which is funny. And I was like, I wonder why I'm not writing as much poetry. And then I was just reflecting and I was like, oh, it's because I'm like in a really healthy, loving relationship with my boyfriend. And so I write love poems, but those aren't, no one wants to hear that. Like, that's just me writing about my boyfriend. It's like, ugh, gosh, gushy. But then I know before I had a tumultuous relationship with my high school boyfriend. And when we broke up to go into college, I was writing about that. I was writing about heartbreak for like 2 years, you know, just like that was just an absolute well of content for me to draw on. So heartbreak, a lot of poems about that. And then poems about nostalgia, I think a lot of poems about nostalgia. I think you could probably hear that in my poem about my mom. I feel like poetry is a really good time to just kind of think about your past too. And so it just kind of inherently becomes nostalgic, sort of. So nostalgia and heartbreak are probably the two emotions that I draw on the most.
That's hilarious and also very relatable.
Yeah.
Totally a thing. So how did you start Poetry Club and why and like what led you there?
Yeah, so I hated UW my first year. Like I hated it. I just was not, I didn't join a sorority. I didn't really involve myself in any clubs. None really piqued my interest that much. And UW just felt so big and overwhelming. And my best friend, it was kind of just the two of us against the world. And we had a few other friends who lived in our building. And UW just felt so big and we wanted to make a smaller community. And I went up to Western, my best friend from high school, you know, went to Western and was living there. And so I was visiting her pretty often, just kind of trying to escape the vastness of UW and pretend like I went to a smaller liberal arts college like Western. And I went up there and she was like, you know, Sam, you're interested in poetry. Like you should, because I was interested in poetry in high school. She was like, you should join me at a poetry club meeting. And so I went to the Western's poetry club meeting and fell in love with everything about it. Just loved the activities and loved just kind of the space and the environment and the creativity that it fostered. So then I came back to UW and told my roommate, I was like, oh my gosh, we need to start a poetry club.
Were you into poetry before you saw Western, or was that kind of a moment for you, like kind of realizing that?
I've always been really interested in how poetry can like short circuit emotion, how like just a few words on a piece of paper can make you feel something that quickly and that directly, even though the words themselves are more indirect, more abstract, more metaphorical, however you want to say it. So I've just always been interested in it. But then when I went to the poetry club at Western, I was like, oh, this can be a community. Like you can do this every single week, and this can be kind of a respite from the craziness of the world and just a time to slow down and write and just share. Oh my gosh, I just love hearing other people's words. It's my favorite part every single week, is just having people share at the very end. And we have some insanely talented people who just, you know, are like down the hall from us or something, you know, like they're just everywhere. And so Poetry Club is a really cool place to find out who those people are and hear what they have
that.
To say.
And I've also, like, the times that I've come by and heard the poetry, especially the ones that people share at the end, their personal poetry, it's amazing. I have always just blown away.
Yeah, me too. I can't believe, like, you read the famous poets, and then you go to poetry club, and you're like, oh, anyone here could get published. Anyone here could get famous. Like, it's just about putting your mind to it, because the raw talent is there, you know?
Exactly. And it's talented and also relatable, because yes, a lot of them are in college and going through stuff that mm-hmm. a lot of us also can find community in.
It's beautiful that people can be so vulnerable. I think every single time that everyone comes, it's just an act of courage to, even if they're not sharing, just to put themselves in a space where something might hit home, you know? It's just, it's very courageous to both share and to listen.
This just makes me so excited, just thinking about all the things you're doing and the poetry club and all this community coming together. I need to come to more meetings.
Thank you. Yeah, it feels different over Zoom. I hope that people still feel a little bit of a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
But it also kind of takes the pressure off. Like, if you can't come for a week, you know, then you just Zoom in later.
I just love showing up and seeing everyone and hearing the poems. And it's amazing. Like, if anyone here is listening, just trust me, it's amazing.
Thank you, Sarah. You're very kind. We love having you.
Thank you. Is there anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah, I guess I'd just like to say, like, if anyone out there is embarrassed or shameful or absolutely hates what they write, it can be everyone's a poet. I think everyone deep down is a poet. But hating your own poetry is like the most common thing. Every single member that I've talked to is like, has at one point been ashamed or embarrassed about something that they've written. Being in a space where you're around people who have felt the exact same way, and also having these directives and prompts and everything can just be really helpful. So, you know, I also am ashamed of some of what I've written. Like, you know, I also am embarrassed about it. But that is a very, very human thing, and everyone has experienced that. And I think it actually makes us better writers.
Agree. You kind of have to go through the writing stages and put your best out there. And your best is probably going to feel like your worst, mm-hmm. but it'll improve.
Absolutely.
And even if you think it's bad, sometimes the rawest poetry that you write may resonate with someone else, even if you think it's terrible.
Yeah, some people will be like, I hate this poem, but I'm just sharing because I want to share something. I want to share, you know, because I want to push myself or something. And then they'll share something that they say they hate, and someone will just, you know, three people will be crying on camera or something, you know? Like, it just, you don't know how your words are going to touch someone else, too.
Exactly. Thank you. I loved all your responses, and this has been a highlight for me today. Thank you so much for coming on, and...
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. I think you're doing important work. Poetry is not talked about enough, I think, so I appreciate what you're doing.
I appreciate you running Poetry Club, and hopefully I'll see you next week there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, bye.
Bye.